Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the 9th canto, chapter 11. And we're on text number 23. Purusho Rama Charitam. Purusho Rama Charitam. Shravanar Upadarayan. Shravanar Upadharayan. Anvisamsya Paro Rajan. Anvisamsya Paro Rajan. Karma Bandhar Vimuchate. Karma bandhar vimuchate. Purusho Ramacharitam. Shravanar Upadharayan. Anvisamsya Pado Rajan. Karma bandhar vimuchate. Purusho Rama Charitam. Shravanar Upadharayan. Anvisamsya Paro Rajan. Karma Bandhar Vimuchate. Okay, Vaishnavis. Vashamanamanatam. Chavatam Pilabhagatam. Purusha, any person. Ramacharitam, the narrations concerning the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. Shravanai, by oral reception. Upadharayan, simply by this process of hearing. Anvisamsyapada becomes completely free from envy. Rajan, O King Prikshit, Karma Bandai, by the bondage of fruitive activities. Vimuchate, one becomes liberated. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Prikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Please repeat, O King Prikshit. Anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be free from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Purport. Here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely free from the cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dham, or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, and therefore he is completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy, because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector. He thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Ye yata mam prapajyante tams tataiva bhajami aham. Bhagavad Gita 4:11. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting, Shravana Kirtana, is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Gyana Tamadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakapa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the translation again. O King Prikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. So this is a wonderful story. And by hearing stories, we become attracted, right? Even when we're children. Once upon a time, our ears are perked up. We want to know what happened. But it's always about someone, isn't it? It's not about something. Right? It's always about a person. So here we're hearing wonderful pastimes about the Supreme Person. And by hearing these pastimes, we actually become purified. We become free from envy. We develop all good qualities. This is the greatest story we could ever hear, isn't it? Hearing about the greatest personalities, the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it talks about it's free from envy. It's thoroughly honest. It's completely transcendental, pure. There's no cheating propensities. So if one hears these things, he becomes purified. He's associating with his transcendental forms, his transcendental pastimes of Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna's form, his pastimes, his activities, reading about him in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or discussing about him amongst devotees. And that's what we're doing. So this is the activities in the spiritual world. They're always glorifying Krishna. You know, it's like in the material world, it's just the opposite. We want to be glorified. And that shows our envy. It's not that, oh, you're such a great personality and you've done such great, wonderful things, and let me serve you, let me glorify you. But no, it's like, oh, who is he? Who do you think you are? Let me do something to make you look bad. Or even amongst devotees, I can't wait till he falls down so that I show that he is not so advanced. I'm better. Like that. So this is materialistic life. In the fifth canto, there's a verse that says, in this materialistic life, there's many difficulties. And it mentions a lot of them in the fifth canto. And he says, and all of these are insurmountable. So there's so many difficulties. It's like the forest of enjoyment. It's described in the fifth canto. So many difficulties. But he says, in addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, and how could we forget? Envy, enmity, insult, hunger, thirst, tribulation, disease. It goes on for three pages. No, I'm just kidding. Birth, old age, and death. All these combine together to give the materialistic conditioned soul nothing but misery. So this is the material world. It's a place, nice place to live, where everyone else is envious of other people, insulting other people, where you get to be hungry, thirsty, diseased, greed. You know, there's so-called happiness. So-called happiness. The happiness we see is actually so-called. And all these are insurmountable. So this is the material world. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, we're trying to become more and more self-realized. We want to know who we are. We want to get out of the dark and actually see with the light of knowledge. So there's a nice chapter called The Creation of the Universal Form. And in that chapter describes how the super soul enters into the universal form and it animates it, just like our soul animates this body. So the universal body, which is Krishna, an emanation of Krishna, is animated by the super soul. And by animating that, all the different parts come together. All the different limbs of the universal form, all the senses, everything that we see everywhere, all around you, everything is the universal form. Even our own bodies are part of the universal form. In fact, we cannot even see, hear, move, talk, breathe, or anything without the universal form, without Krishna's energy. So the universal form is an expansion of Krishna. It's dependent on Krishna, just like we're dependent on the demigods, which are also parts of the universal form. So without the aid of the demigods, you couldn't even see. You couldn't even breathe. But the demigods can't do this without the aid of the universal form, which ultimately comes from Krishna. So everything is Krishna. Everything. Everything is a great manifestation of Krishna. It's a great miracle. So all of us, we are like a great miracle. This is Krishna. And to be envious of anyone is to actually be envious of Krishna, because they're part of Krishna. They are Krishna. Krishna's energy. We're all parts and parcel of Krishna. And this material energy is actually Krishna, his external body. So we've had these particular bodies according to our desires. And there's 8,400,000 different types of varieties that we could enter into and try to enjoy. And Krishna is so kind, he created this form. As we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning, in the third canto actually, it's described how the whole purpose of the universe of creation is to somehow or another become self-realized, understand who we are, and become knowledgeable and actually get out of this entanglement. It's like a prison house. So we want to leave that place. So this mature world is full of so many, as we mentioned, bad qualities. And these demigods are in the mature world, and they even have shown us that they sometimes become envious. Just like Indra, he became envious of King Prithu. And then he tried to stop and steal the horse from the sacrifice so that he would not become better than him and take his position. So this is enviousness. We think that, oh, I have this great position and I got to protect it. Or someone has a better position than me and I want to take it away. I want that for myself. He doesn't deserve it. So by becoming envious, huge problems are created, not only for ourselves, but for those everywhere else. And just look at the huge problems that Indra caused by doing this. He introduced so many irreligious principles into society of the cheating propensity. And so Lord Brahma had to come to stop him and say, look what you've done. Stop. Otherwise you're going to create more irreligious principles. And there's a nice verse from that chapter I'd like to read here. Since no one in the material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in the material world is called Matsara, envious. One who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, however, if someone excels another person, the devotee who excels thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in devotional service. Such non-envy is typical of Vaikuntha. However, when one is envious of his competitor, that is material. So this is what's happening. So much competition in the material world. And we see that even there's Daksha. He was an expert Prajapati, progenitor of mankind. But due to his envy of Lord Shiva, look at all the disastrous results he created. And that's described in the fourth canto. And Sati became so disturbed that because of his blasphemy and enviousness, she actually burned her body to ashes. And he caused also problem to himself. He ended up with the head of a goat. And then in this particular chapter, we're reading about Ravana. And Ravana was also envious of the Lord. He tried to take what the Lord has for his own enjoyment, tried to steal Sita. And look at the dangerous and catastrophic result of that. His whole race was annihilated. His whole city was destroyed. So this is a very, very, it's one of the most, what could you say the word, insidious, the most terrible of all these qualities, enviousness. Actually, it's the purpose of why we got here in the material world. we're envious of Krishna. So in the material world, it's full of envy. Just like Hiranyakashipu, what a great personality he was. He possessed tremendous power. But his most serious fault was what? He was envious of his 5-year-old son, Prahlad Maharaj. And look at the great catastrophe he had for himself. He was destroyed. So we can see so many examples. And if we go to an individual level, we can analyze in our own hearts that we have this disease of envy, Prabhupada describes. Just by the fact that we have a material body is a disease, Prabhupada says. So we have to purify, get purified from this disease. Just like when the sun rises, it destroys all darkness. So if we engage in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, like Lord Ramchandra, like Lord Krishna, all the different pastimes Krishna describes, it's described in the Krishna books, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, then we can actually become purified. And that's the greatest anartha for us. It sabotages the entire environment, envy. It actually communicates to others this subtle message of disempowerment. It implies that you shouldn't do your service better or best, that you should do it poorly so you can avoid being the target of negativity. So if we allow ourselves to be acting on these negative messages, then the result is less service to Krishna, less service to the Guru. It's like telling the devotee, don't excel spiritually. A devotee singing beautiful bhajans. Don't sing so nicely. You know, the pujaris are dressing the deity so expertly and beautifully. Don't dress the deity so nice. We become envious of the cook. Why are you cooking so nice? Expertly for Krishna. How can you think in that way? You know, it's, oh, we should just offer poor quality to the Krishna. We should offer poor quality to the Guru. So then we end up with a very mediocre environment. Everybody's envious of others. Be whimsical, be frivolous. But the devotee's mentality is completely the opposite. He examines his own life and he wants to do more and more wonderful service for Krishna. And he wants to meditate on how he can help others do more service for Krishna. And we honor that person. We become exhilarated, we become enthused by seeing others advance. And then we want to become motivated ourselves even more. So the temple is actually supposed to be Vaikuntha. But it's not like automatically I become a devotee and then, you know, I'm ecstatic, everything. But we have to actually work at it. There's a nice story that Giriraj Swami talks about when he first moved to the temple in Boston. And Prabhupada said that the whole temple is affected by each devotee's spiritual position. If one devotee is doing well, then the whole temple feels it. And if one devotee is having difficulty, the whole temple feels it. And if a devotee is having difficulty and you think, oh, that devotee is in Maya, let me just avoid him. Is that a Vaikuntha attitude? But Prabhupada said, he said, this mentality of being non-envious, it can't appear all of a sudden, but it can develop gradually in Krishna consciousness. So it's very important that we encourage everybody. We help each other advance. We're not envious. Actually, that is envious. That's actually violence. It's described that that when they're cleaning the Gundincha temple, and they're cleaning the temple very nicely, and they're finding more and more refined dirt. Lord Chaitanya made him clean even deeper. And the subtle dirt within the mind is this envy. Yakuntinati. He called it actually violence toward other living entities. Jivahimsa. He referred it to like that. Is that if you're actually envious of other living entities, then you're causing violence. And What does that mean? Violence is that you're not giving them Krishna consciousness. You're not giving them knowledge on how to advance and go back to the spiritual world. So this is a very, very degraded mentality. So Srila Prabhupada, we look at his qualities and how he came. He is a personality who is completely dedicated to just please his spiritual master, to excel without limits practically, always meditating on glorifying his spiritual master. He was so absorbed in glorifying it and wanting to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master that he wasn't even thinking of his own glory or his own achievements. He was simply focused on pleasing his spiritual master. So free, Srila Prabhupada, free from envy, coming to an entirely different country at all personal difficulty. You know, across the ocean, 3 heart attacks. And coming in a country where he's unfamiliar. And to give his association, his non-envious association, and devotees and people hearing just his sound vibration, they became purified, and they wanted to excel more and more and to become who they really can be for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, just by coming and chanting in America, he created this revolution so that we can all become purified and purified, pure from all this envious attitude. So this is how we have to see that everything is Krishna's. There's that verse in the Srimad Bhagavad, in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatapasyam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam santim richati. That we have to see everything as Krishna's, because he is the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. He's a supreme lord of everything. He's a benefactor. He's a well-wisher of all living entities. And in that way we can attain peace. In other words, we're not envious of Krishna that he's the supreme controller, the enjoyer, the friend. So this is what he's saying, basically. So this is a very important verse. So we have to take up the mission of Srila Prabhupada and getting free from this jiva himsa, enviousness of all living entities, which means actually to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So that's what that means. The jiva means living entity. It also means life. And ahimsa means violence, which also translates as envy. And sometimes we think, oh, violence means that I'll harm somebody or I'll kill somebody. That's actually certainly jiva hamsa. But the real living entity is a spirit soul. And to not give them that knowledge, give them that light of who they really are, is actually violence. So this is why the devotees, they go out and they perform this Sankirtan Yajna. For our own individual purification, we hear and chant. We study these books. We become purified constantly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We constantly hear and chant. And then gradually we become purified, as mentioned in this verse. And then become so enthused and boiling over with enthusiasm that they want to share that. And they go out at all risks just to help the envious conditioned souls. And there's one nice story I heard about. It's a Sankirtan story that took place in Spain, I think it was, where the devotees were on a marathon there. And the devotees would go to the train stations. And when the trains would stop, as people were getting in, they would go on to the train and distribute as many books as they can. And then before the train left, they would get off the train. So this one Mataji, she was very fired up, very enthusiastic. And she was just a small woman. And she went onto the train and she gave this person a Krishna book. And he took the book. And right in front of her, you know, he was a pretty big guy, he just ripped the book in half. He threw it on the ground and he stomped on it. And he didn't end there. He actually grabbed her. I think he grabbed her by the hair. dragged her off the train and threw her off the train onto the pavement. And he got back on the train and left, and he was feeling so proud of himself. You know how even when he got home, he was bragging to his family, look what I did. I had this book, and look what I did to the book. And I told the story what he did, and he was so proud of himself. He was actually a banker in a very prestigious position. So he left the book there. And the maid actually came and saw the book, and she thought, oh, it belonged to somebody in the family. So she kind of pieced it together a little bit and put it in the shelf. And then years went by. And then the gentleman's, I don't know if you could call him a gentleman, the envious banker, puffed up banker, his wife actually died. She died in a car crash, head-on collision. And then after that, he had two children. I think one of them just left home, ran away from home. And then the other child married some low-class person, and they just took off. So he was with nothing. And he was about to commit suicide. So then he was just looking through his bookshelf and thinking, looking for something, some shelter. He's probably looking for the Bible. And then he found this Krishna book. He grabbed it. He was very attracted to it somehow. And he opened it up right to the chapter where Kamsa was about to kill, I think it was that chapter, his sister. And then her husband, Vyasadeva, was preaching to him about the body. Vasudeva was preaching to him about, you know, the temporality of the body and all these different things. So he read that, and he just kept reading and reading, and he didn't even go to work. He just kept reading the whole book. And then he was like, realized, what did I do? And he was actually getting solace. He was getting enlightenment. His whole consciousness changed. So then he looked in back of the book and saw the addresses. And then he went to that place, I think it was in Madrid, and he went to the temple, and he was still like in his suit and tie. And he knocked on the door, the temple president came, and he just got on his knees and started saying, I'm very sorry, I'm sorry. You know, and they thought he was probably a crazy guy. But he came in the temple, and he would come regularly, and he would listen to the classes, and eventually he wanted to move in the temple. And then eventually he took initiation. And then they had this festival where all the devotees in the area would come, and he went to that festival and he saw that devotee that he actually stole the book from and stomped on it and threw out the train. And devotees are very, they don't hold any grudges, and she actually forgave him and he apologized. And so this is the mercy, such an envious person, and by the mercy of the devotees who are non-envious, going out and distributing these books to people that are envious. That's why we have to treat everyone with a non-envious attitude. The devotees in the temple, we have to show non-enviousness. We have to, as I described here, don't perform Vaishnava aparad, because that'll prevent you from advancing. It'll prevent you from hearing. It'll prevent you from following the process. You won't have the power to do it. So in the same way, the Sankirtan devotees, they go out and they respect every living entity. What to speak? They even respect the ants and the animals and so many different things. So in this way, we can actually become freed from this envy. And the Lord was so pleased with the devotees that they cleaned the temple. So he said, okay, you know, now you can sit within the heart without disturbance. And then there's a nice prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He sings, Mama mana mandira rahanishadin Krishna murari Shri Krishna murari. Please abide in the temple of my heart both day and night, O Krishna murari, O Krishna murari. Esho nanda kumar arananda kumar habi preme patibi arati tamar. Come, son of Nanda, and then, O son of Nanda, I will offer your artik ceremony with the lamplight of my love. So it's very nice. You know, we may perform external worship, like we perform artik of the deities. It's actually a meditation. We're appreciating everything in nature as Krishna's, and we're offering it back to Krishna. Like the smell of the incense is like the scent of the earth. You know, we're offering the fan. It's like we're offering the air. And the sound of the conch shell is like the ether. And the light we're offering back to Krishna. We're appreciating all the gifts that are given to us by Krishna, and we're using them in his service. Just like you offer Ganges water to the Ganges, because that's how, you know, we worship her. So in the same way we worship Krishna, by offering everything back to Krishna. So this is the worship, actually. We bring the Lord within our heart, and we serve him with a clean, non-envious, pacified, cool mandira in the heart. And that's achieved by the mercy of Krishna, mercy of Lord Chaitanya, especially in this age. If we worship Gaur Nitai by performing Sankirtan, and Gaur Nitai, they are the most merciful. They don't take any offense. So this is why we go out and we perform this Sankirtan Jagya in this age of chanting and glorifying the holy names constantly. And that way we purify all our surroundings. Prabhupada wanted many moons to go out and purify. And just by Prabhupada's association, he purified so many of his disciples, and they're doing so much. So in the same way, we, with a non-envious attitude, we become purified, glorifying the Lord, pushing on the devotees in their devotional service, even glorifying the devotees, and engaging in excellent service for Krishna, then we'll all go back home, back to Godhead, where there is no envy, and all there is love. That's the spiritual world. There's only two things there happening. There's no enviousness, and there's love for Krishna. That's the spiritual world. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Realizations? Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam.